Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Kuf Beis. We're holding Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara brings a Mishnah in Mesechtes Eholois, which begins, Tanan Hasam, we learned there in the Mishnah. The purpose of bringing this Mishnah is because, as you recall, yesterday in our Mishnah, we had a machloikis between the Tanakama and Reb Shemoin as to how large is one of the ma'orois that were used in the, shall I say, good old days for purposes of burying members of a family. So we said that according to the Tanakama, each ma'ora was 4 by 6 amois, which allowed you to go and insert 8 recesses, 8 kuchen, all together for 8 niftarim. On the other hand, Reb Shimon said, no, it's not 4 by 6, it's 6 by 8. Since it's 6 by 8, you can go and insert all together 13 such kuchen for 13 niftarim chas v'shalom. So we had a machloikis again, whether it's an ma'ara of 4 by 6 or 6 by 8. The kash of the Gemara is going to be that in Mesechtes Eholos we talk similarly about that type of structure, but we don't talk about dimensions of 4 by 6 or 6 by 8, but rather 4 by 8, which is therefore neither like the Tanakama nor like Reb Shimon. What are we going to do? That's going to be the Gemara's kasha. Very, very simple. It's not awesome. Hamoitze meis mushkav kedarkoi. We all know that it's not a simple matter to be mafana atzamos, to go and move the last remains of any individual who was buried. That is a very, very difficult thing, and you can only do it with approval of major rabbanim that are really familiar with all of the halachas, because otherwise there are all the types of terrible stories that they say about people that are mitfana atzamos, if there was no reason for it. So that only is if you're talking about people that were buried intentionally in a proper and appropriate burial plot. What do you mean? Because some people are buried only on a temporary basis. Why are they only buried on a temporary basis? So we'll see in the Rambam and in the Gemara, because, for instance, what happens if people want to go and bury a mess, but the person passed away Friday afternoon, and they don't want to just leave him hanging around somewhere. So on a temporary basis, they put him somewhere on Friday, with the intention of eventually reburying him in a proper burial plot on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Unfortunately, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday came along, and they were not able to bury, either because they forgot, or there was an ones, maybe all of those people are fleeing from the enemy, maybe there was some sort of milchama or battle. Anyway, bottom line is, if a person is buried in isolation on his own, only a one-person burial plot, nothing more, nothing less, then you are allowed to be mefana at some ways to go and move the body to another location. When you do that, you have to go and take the body and tefusasai. Tefusasai means 3 tefachim of earth underneath the body, together with the body. And the reason is because all of that mixes together to form what we call rekev. Rekev literally means dust. What we mean is the last remains. Since the last remains, when it was lying on top of the earth, maybe some juices of the body, maybe some fragments of the body, maybe some of the flesh of the body has unfortunately over time deteriorated and maybe mixed in or gotten absorbed by some of the earth immediately below the mess. Therefore, you have to go and take the whole mess together, meis utfusase. And that's what it says, v'yitanan hasa mamoitse meis mushkev kedarkoi. Person finds a mess who's just lying there. The reason why it says lying there, because the Rishbam says, we learn from the Lashon HaMishnah numerous halachos. It's got to be, for instance, meis, v'loi meguyad. Meguyad means what happens if you can tell from the way the body is buried. Perhaps the body is still relatively fresh, and you see that unfortunately the person died because of stab wounds or because of hitting the guy over the head, Nebuch, with a baseball bat. It wasn't a natural death. So mace is la'afuke, not someone who is horug or meguya. Hamoitze means that you only found out about it now, and not that you knew about it. In other words, it wasn't that there was an intentional burial that everybody knew about. This is your person was plowing in his field, and now he's plowing. He's saying, "Oi, what's over here? Oh, there's an arm, there's a mess." And he's totally moitze that mess, and the mess looks mushkuf kedarkoi. Mushkuf kedarkoi means that if the person would have been meguyad, stabbed or so, he wouldn't have been just lying there. And also comes lafuke goyim. The Rishbam points out that goyim were not necessarily laid down when they were buried, but they were sitting up, and that's how they also buried them. So if you found a mess sitting up, then you can assume it wasn't a Jewish mess, but nebucha goyish mess. And therefore, these halachas wouldn't apply. So all of the words of that Mishnah come to tell you various halachas, but bottom line is, if it's only a one mess situation, which you did not know about it, you just came upon it by happenstance, what do you do? Since it's only one, you can go and take up the whole body and move it together with the earth underneath it. And the same thing applies to shnayim, noitlan v'est fusasim. You can go and take the two and virtsfusa underneath, because they're also assumed to be just temporarily buried there and not buried there on a permanent basis. You didn't have a real beis hakvoros, beis hachayim. You can go and move them. However, matze shloisha, if you find three bodies together, then you have to assume, like it says on the next line, harizu shchunas kvorois. This already, we deem this, we consider this to be a long lost cemetery, which nobody remembered. There was a cemetery here 100 years ago, and all of the residents had fled because of the enemies or whatever it was, and therefore, then you cannot go and move the bodies. But notice that the Mishnah says, when you find these three bodies, how were they buried? If you find the three niftarim buried within either a 4 amma block, 4 amma distance, or if you find the three buried within an 8 amma distance, then you can assume that this was originally kuchen inside a ma'ara, which nobody could remember or everybody forgot about, and now you've rediscovered it 100 years later, 200 years later, at the Shkunas HaKvarais, and you cannot move any of the bodies. Moreover, not only can't you move the bodies, but boitik mimenu ulahalon esrim amma. You have to go now and check and inspect 20 amas in all directions. Why? Because perhaps this is part of the Ma'ara, and you're looking at the right-hand side, and maybe we'll find other niftarim that were buried on the left-hand side. Or maybe this was on the left, and maybe there are other niftarim on the right. Or maybe this is the southern, and there are other niftarim based at 20 amas to the north, and vice versa. So in other words, you have to go and do in the form of a circle. You have to go and check in all directions for 20 amos. And if after you checked in 20 amos, motze echad b'soif esrim amma, if you find one nifter buried within the 20 amos, boidik mimenu la'lan chafama, then you have to keep on checking yet another 20 amos. The purpose of checking the 20 amos, we'll make the cheshboinos shortly, but the point is that maybe you've located a mess at one end of a ma'ara, and we have to go and check out, maybe there are other niftarim buried in this same ma'ara, as well as maybe there are niftarim buried in another ma'ara within 20 amis. And remember, both the Tanakama and Reb Shimon yesterday said that when you go and buy a makom and you dedicate a makom for a burial plot, you didn't just have one ma'ara, you always had, according to Tanakama, two ma'aras, and according to Reb Shimon, you had four ma'aris. So therefore, if you find a mess over here, then maybe you'll find another one here, and maybe another one over there, and maybe another one over there. So you have to check in all directions 20 amos. If you find just one mess within 20 amos, then you have to continue checking for another 20 amos in all directions, because there may be multiple ma'aris here for multiple families, for the Smith family, for the Jones family, for the Rosenberg family, the Greenberg family. So you have to have multiple ma'aris, and you have to go and check 20 amos. Shiraglai medover. By the fact that you originally found three, and now you find another one, then you can assume that there may be other kvarim over here that you're not aware of, and you have to continue looking. Is there a glaim ledover? It looks pretty much circumstantial evidence that we do have here a beis achaim. She'ilam etchila matzoi. If we would find this additional mess, in other words, you found three. If we would find this additional mess metchila on its own, on his own, on her own, without any other mason, then noit levesu sase. Like we said at the beginning of the Mishnah, that if you only have one or two, you can unearth them and you can move them on. However, if you have three, then that shows you that this is a permanent burial plot, a cemetery, kuchen, a ma'ara for niftarim. So you have to keep on looking all the time, 20 amas in all directions, until you don't find anybody else, and then you can assume that that's where the cemetery, this old ancient cemetery, has ended, and you don't have to worry anything further. Before we continue on, just tell you a short story. When my wife and I were in Russia, in the Soviet Union, before Glasnost and before Gorbachev, at that time Yuri Andropov, Yemach Shemoy, was at that time was the head of the Communist Party, the head of the Soviet Union. So when we went to Russia at that time as Shluchim on behalf of the Aguda, so we had a number of things that we were told to ask about and do, etc. So one of the things that we heard was that in Kovna, Kovna was the, at one time, a major, major Jewish center, but of course, as a result of the Nazis, there were virtually no Jews left, if any Jews at all. In Kovna was buried the famous Rav and Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, and as you know, there's a school here in New York that bears a name after him. But Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan was the Rav of Kovna, Kovna Rav. There was a word had gotten out to Reb Pinchas Teitz Zatzal, the Ruv of Elizabeth. He was very, very active behind the Iron Curtain at that time, and for many years. So he heard that there was a plan to liquidate the entire Kovna Beis HaChaim, because there was nobody around, and the Ukrainians, or the Lithuanians, or the Latvians, or the Litvakis, or whatever, the Goyim, said, you know, let's go and use this for development. Why should we waste all of this land for a Jewish cemetery? There are no Jews. So they were going to liquidate it. And this word came back to Pinchas Teitz, and therefore we have to go and do something vis-a-vis the body of the great Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. So he asked us to get involved and see what we could do when we were there in the Soviet Union. So in fact, we were in Leningrad, today, because it's called St. Petersburg. And whilst we were there, we were visiting one of the refuseniks, a person by the name of Reb Yitzchak Kogan, very, very choshev yid, a yid tzaddik. Anyway, but whilst we were there, out of nowhere came in a young man, and he introduced himself, and he started talking, this and that, and he told us, Mesiach Lefitumai, we didn't even ask him, he said that he just returned now from Kovna. What was he doing in Kovna? He had also heard about the situation, about the liquidation, and he was requested to somehow move the body of Yitzchak Elchanan from the old cemetery in Kovna, which was going to be destroyed, to a different section of a newer part of the cemetery, which they were going to leave, at least temporarily. So he said that he came there together with another few able-bodied men, and they were told that to do so, you have to take the nifter together with tefusasai, and they fill that all in a huge, huge box, the remains together with the three tefachim of earth underneath, and it was so heavy they couldn't possibly move it anywhere. Couldn't possibly move. And what are we going to do? Out of nowhere, he told us what he told us, the Russian army, they had a whole bunch of troops passing by, and they saw a few yidlach working hard, and they said, hey, what are you doing? They said, we're trying to go move this huge body and this huge box from here over to the other side because it's so heavy, we can't. They said, no problem, we'll take care of it. So they had 10 of the Chagoyim, strong, heavy guy, Starker. They picked it up, moved it over, buried it, and then they left. And that was Gzimtai, the first and the last time they saw it. So he considered it to be a moifis or a nes in the schus of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, that out of nowhere these people came and they offered to do it voluntarily, to go and pick it up and to move the body over so they shouldn't have a problem. The only reason I'm pointing that out is because it's not just 3 inches of earth, 3 tefachim of earth. We're talking about a lot of earth, and particularly if you're talking in a place where they have clay-like earth, this can be very heavy, and moving the whole thing, it was required over there soldiers, because the regular Yungalite couldn't do it. It had to be done by these...
So when they bury people in Eretz Yisrael, they have to put them into a very large box, and it's like it's a major thing.
Yeah, that's the... exactly.
Yeah.
I haven't personally participated, but that's my understanding.
I read about it, but I also didn't.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's a real life story. But getting back to our Gemara now, the focus of this Mishnah and the connection of this Mishnah with our Gemara is because at the top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph we already learned Matzah Shloishim Yesh Beinayim Me Arba Ad Shmoyne. Now, what's the significance of Arba Ad Shmoyne? We're going to see the Rishbam in a moment, but this Mishnah holds that when they buried the Kuchen, they buried them in Ma'oreis, not of 4x6, not in Ma'oreis of 6x8, which were the two Shitois that we had yesterday in the Mishnah, but rather in 4x8, and therefore it's what we call Nishtahin and Nishtaher. It doesn't go according to Tanakama, it doesn't go according to Reb Shimon, and that's why we brought this Mishnah, and that's the Kasha of the Gemara. But before we continue on, we should learn the top Rishbam here on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, because he explains how can you find three Niftarim within four Amos. As you recall yesterday, the reason why we had six Amos is because we had the three Niftarim, the three Kuchen. The width of each one of the Niftarim was one Amma, that's three. You have the two spaces in between, there's another two Ammas, that's five. And then you have a Chatzi Am Mikan, you have six. But here we're talking about burying three within four. How does that work?
There's no Amma space between them. It should be at least five.
So the Rishbam is going to tell us that this Mishnah holds you don't need to go and have such wide walls. Instead, you can go and make walls in between, or space in between, of two tefachim each. Since you're going to have two tefachim, as we know, every Amma has six tefachim. If you have three neftarim, two spaces in between, each space is two tefachim. Two times two is four tefachim. I have two tefachim left. One tefach to the right, one tefach to the left of these three kuchen.
You could say if it was earth.
You could theoretically say that, but right. But our, as we'll see, our Gemara somehow prefers this. That Reb Shimon Gamliel is more just of a detail. You're right. If it's strong, you don't even need the full Am in between.
Right.
However, this Mishnah doesn't distinguish between whether it was thick Amas or thin Amas or thick earth or thin earth. It just says if you find three within four or you find three within eight, then it's Chulas HaKvaris. And now that is what's bothering us. How do you have walls of four and eight inside a Ma'ara? You can either find walls of four and six or walls of six and eight, but not four and eight. So the fact that there are three within four, you're right, that's Reb Shimon Gamliel would hold that that's not a problem. But why would the Ma'ara have eight? Why wouldn't the Ma'ara be 4x6? And you're just burying more or burying less, depending on the structure, the thickness, and the texture of the soil. So the 4x8 is a giveaway that this is not a 4x6 Ma'ara. It's not a 6x8 Ma'ara. It's somewhere in between a 4x8, and that's the Gemara's Kasha. But let's look quickly at the Rishbam at the top. What's a Shloishim? Mesim mushkavim kedarkin. You find three mesim who are all lying normally. Zeh betzad zeh. Im yesh bein harishon l'shlishi. If between the three, the first one up to the third one, korev l'dalet amos, up to four amos, oy korev l'ches amos, or up to eight, harizushchunas kvaris v'layit l'mikan. Don't remove the bodies the konim koyman because they have been koyned their mokay by the fact that this was a Beis HaChaim. The story that I was telling before about Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan, there are heterim where the goyim are going to liquidate the Beis HaChaim to allow for moving the atzamas from one place to the other. The Sfira Leil HaTana. This Tana holds that Toicha Shel Ma'ora Arba Amos Alchas 4x8. Usfira Leil Nami, and he holds also Shigim Meisim Nigborim Bekoisu Rechava. He holds that you can bury three mesim in a wall whose rechava, whose width is only four. How? Keta. Gimel amos v'shloish kuchim. That we know each body has to have one amos, three. Ubeis tvachim mekuch l'kuchim. You add two tvachim between one and the other. And that's two times two, because we have two spaces between three kuchim. V'tevach l'zav yizu and tevach l'zav yizu. Harivav tvachim, you have the 12 tvachim altogether, sacha koil, dalet amos. So that's if it's in the 4 amma wall. And you could also have the Niftarim buried in the 8 Amuot. Well, because the Arach Mem Amos, Yikbar Lefi Cheshvin Zeh, the same type of Cheshvin, that instead of having 3, you could have 6 buried within this 8. In other words, you can have 3 in a 4 Amuot, you can have 6 in an 8 Amuot. Again, because Vav Mason, Vav Amos, Ushnei Amos HaNisaris, what are you going to do with the 2 additional Amos? Because you have 6 Mason, 6 Amos in an 8 Amos. What do you do with the remaining 2 Amos? 2 Amos is Yud Beis Tvachim, 12 Tvachim. Tzei Mehen Yud Tvachim, Lehei Avirois Shebein Sheishes HaKuchen. Go and take 10 Tvachim and spread it out for the 5 spaces between the various kuchim, tvachaim l'chol avir, 2 tvachim for each avir v'avir, nisharu tvachaim l'zovias, 1 tefach mikan, 1 tefach mikan, v'hilkach, and therefore, kishem moitzen shloisha b'toich dal ramos, ikal amei mezeu koisel kotzer shel ma'orashe k'neged ha-pesach. Why is this a 4 amu wall? Because this is the wall facing opposite the entranceway into the Ma'ara, just like we had yesterday in the Mishnah. So the wall facing you has 4 Amos, and you were able to squeeze in, even though our Mishnah says you squeeze in 2, but this Mishnah holds you can squeeze in 3. When you find the 3 Mason spread out over 8 Amos, you can also meet Mistapik. Maybe this is the long wall. Why did you only find 3? Because they didn't fully fill up all of the kuchen yet, and people moved away, or they were dispersed, or there was a battle, or whatever it was. They never finished filling up all of the kuchen. If you have 3 either together like we had, or 3 spread out, they were buried in the length of the Ma'ara. The other 3 kuchen, which I don't find, is because they may have collapsed over time. And there was no other mess there. There were only 3 out of that entire one. But that is only if they're spread out with at least 2 tfachim distance between them. If within, for instance, a 4 wall, you had 4 niftarim instead of 3, or if in the 8 wall, instead of having 6, you had 7 niftarim, matzah ritzufim means that they were really bunched together. Oh, ein zeh shchunas kfarois. El al yedeat chaknit grusham lisham amanas lefanoisim hayoyim ulemachar. Apparently, there was perhaps some sort of battle, for instance, and they had to quickly bury as many as they could, one on top of the other, one next to each other, and they were going to eventually unearth them and move them out, but it didn't happen. And perhaps if there was a battle, everybody had to flee. No one was able to return. You don't have to make any other bedikos. Anyway, so getting back to... That's what it comes out from this Mishnah in Masechta Seholos. And therefore you would be able to be mafana all the graves later on. So it says now, or could be if it's a mass grave with the intention of leaving them permanently, then they are kindness mekayim. But the assumption is, since there was no sign in this Ma'ara saying that the reason why all of these are buried ritzufin is because they're buried temporarily on a permanent basis, the assumption that you can make is that they were buried temporarily, not for the purpose of being their final resting places, and therefore you can go and move them. But if you know for certain that's the way they were buried, b'chatchila, because of whatever the circumstances were, that might be different. Anyway, we're only dealing with our Mishnah, and the important part of the Mishnah that we're focusing on is that the Reisha, the top of the Mishnah, the top of the Omud, says that the walls in the Ma'ara were either 4 or 8. So skipping now down to the beginning of the Gemara's Kasha, Omamar, this is now on line 6 of today's Omud Aleph, Omamar mi arba v'ad shmoina. So Frank Tamar, where do you get this arba v'ad shmoina money? That was yesterday's Tanakama, 4 by 6. Nobody holds 4 by 8. However, not the Rib Shimon of our Mishnah, but another Rib Shimon of the following Brisa. Who is this Tana Rib Shimon? The Tana Rib Brisa. Motzen Ritzufin, the Ein Beinei Midal Amos at Ches. If you found the ritzufim, not like our case where they were spread out evenly, whether they had an amen in between, they had two tvachim in between, but at least they were spread out. Here they were tzufin bunched together. And the amount of the wall, the size of the wall, the measure of the wall was up to four or up to eight, like we spoke about before. Yesh len tfusa, you are allowed to move these niftarim and move them. And when you are moving them, you have to take the tfusa along those additional three tvachim of earth down below. And even though you have three or more niftarim, Eilen Tchuris Kvaris, it doesn't have a din of Tchuris Kvaris, and therefore you're allowed to be mafana, you're allowed to go move the bodies, the remains, and the reason why you're allowed to do it is because since they are so bunched and clustered together, the assumption is, like the Rishbam said, that this was not intended to be their permanent burial place, but almenas lefanoisem hayoim ulamachar, to move them eventually in the near future. This doesn't have to be dafka at a battle, it could also be that this was right before Shabbos, and under normal circumstances you have three niftarim, but because it was before Shabbos they didn't have time to go and bury it, so they tried to somehow squeeze in a fourth body in this wall of four or wall of six or what have you, or eight, and therefore the reason why the rest of the bodies are laid out nicely, but this one is kvetched somewhere in between, it within less space, and that's why the retufin, again for the purpose of reburying this body subsequently. Zog the Tanikama, since I find them all retufim, I'm going to assume that all of them were on a temporary basis. There's no shchunas kvaris, you can move them all.
It's a kavana type thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But here you don't know what the kavana is, so you have to try to objectively figure out what the original intentions were.
Is any halacha or space minimal space between
kvarim? So according to yesterday's Mishnah, in a case of kuchen within the Ma'ara, you had to have one amma in between. And according to today's Mishnah, you have to have two tvachim in between. And then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said there are really no rules and regulations. It all depends on the thickness and the texture and the properties of the quality of the earth, which is dividing between one and the other. If it's a thick, strong earth like a sela, then you can have it very, very thin. And if it happens to be very fine earth, soil that falls to pieces just when you look at it, then you'd have to have presumably even more than an amma between one kuch and the other.
Except for the three exceptions, the halacha is like Shimon Gamliel, isn't it?
Normally, yes. And that's interesting because when you look at the Mishnah yesterday, there is no ois next to that of Shimon Gamliel. You would expect to find an aleph beis gimel. So you'd have to look up the Rambam and other Mefarshim, see would we do or don't. You're right, normally pass with Shimon Gamliel, except for
Arev, Itztalis, and Mayapana.
Arev?
It's the list of the Arev is the Arev Kavlan.
You know, you're 100% right. You Arev.
It's the list is the case of the Gerishin when the guy wanted the Bekesha.
No, continue on.
And he said, you got to give him the Bekesha. And he said, no, you can give him the Marge.
What you said is correct. But the Gemara doesn't refer to it as it's the list. The Gemara refers to it as Arev B'tzidoin V'raya Chreinus. The reason, no, you don't have to be sorry. But the reason why it's called Tzidoin is because the story of the Itzlis took place in a place called Tzidoin. You're doing fine. You're doing great. Baruch Hashem. But getting back to this Brisa now. So the Brisa says in the Tanakhama that the shear is Dalet Amis Ad Ches. Well, that sounds very familiar, right? Between 4 and 8. Reb Shimon Yehuda and Mishim Reb Shimon Uroyin Eso Emtsoyim Ke'ilu Einon V'shar Mitztarvim Midalet Amis Ad Ches. What Reb Shimon ben Yehuda says is, if they're all clustered together, is Royin is a law of jurisprudence that we're going to deem or consider some of the niftarim in the middle as if they are not there. The reason why we consider them as if they're not there is because we're going to base it on the assumption that these should not have been buried here in the first place. They were just put in temporarily, it was before Shabbos, or it was that they had to flee, whatever the difficult circumstances were, and therefore look upon those Nitzarim as if they don't even exist in this Pesach Chaim, and the rest are buried normally, and therefore Shem Mitzav, Midal Ramiz Bat Ches, and as a result, you have to leave them there, and you cannot be Mefana these Nitzarim. One thing that we do see from this price is that both the Tanakam and Reb Shimon talk about the shear of Dalet Amis Ad Ches. Now that's music to our ears because that's what we're trying to figure out. Who is this Tana that holds Arba Shemayna? So from that Mishnah on top, on the very first line of our Amud, we talk about in Yesh Beinei, the Arba Shmoina. And we said that according to Rabbanan, it's 4 and 6. And according to Reb Shimon, it's 6 and 8. And here it says 4 and 8. Oh, we have a Braisa that says over here, 4 and 8, both the Tanakama and Reb Shimon Yehuda, Mishum Reb Shimon. Now, it would appear from the Gemara that the Raya is from to Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Mishum Reb Shimon, because the Gemara said, Li'oilam Reb Shimoni, V'hai Tana Ho, which Tana of these two Tanaim? Probably Reb Shimon Yehuda Mishum Reb Shimon. I mean, that would make sense. That's what it appears to be. And in fact, that's what the Rebbeinu Gershom says. Rebbeinu Gershom says that very clearly. And the question is, how do you find the Rebbeinu Gershom? Because
it depends,
but it continues on the Hemshire. Well, if you look on the left hand side, these are big Maoris, big Kuchen over here. So there is a Rebbeinu Gershom directly on point. The Gemara that I used yesterday didn't have this configuration.
Is it Bamayav Kimta opposite the bottom of the Gemara?
Okay, let's see. Are you looking on the right hand side? Looking on the left hand?
On the left side.
Left side, opposite the Gemara, meaning in the middle?
Yeah, to Reb Shimon. There's if you look.
Tell them
if you look at the end of the bottom of the Gemara text, directly across, you'll see Reb Shimon in the Rebbeinu Gershom Hemshach.
Ah, okay.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, no, you're doing fine. You see the toises me arba amas ad ches?
Yes, that's what
okay.
There.
So now I'm going a little bit below there.
Okay.
You could start at one line above the island of Shimini. That's what you're referring to?
Yes.
Dachinami ka'omer of Shimon, the din orka shal ma'ora ches amois, v'haydu kamafches beis amis min roichav, for Shimon ka'omer sheish roichav ha'le kasha, haytan esovel like Shimon ka'omer, desanya, mo'atzen ritzofen, skip a few lines, Reb Shimon Yehuda, Mishim Reb Shimon, right? Umasnisen, hainu aliba da haitana de Reb Shimon ben Yehuda. Oh, so there goes. So the Mishnah on top of a halos, that's Reb Shimon Yehuda, Mishim Reb Shimon, and that's the Reb Shimon that we're referring to, that it's 4 and 8, and not 4 and 6, and not 6 and 8, but 4 and 8. And that's the chayt of the poshup shot in our Gemara. That's the Reb Shimon, because the Gemara says, I learned Reb Shimon. However, the Marsha says, no, that the Tana of this price that we're referring to is the Tana Kama. We're not referring to Reb Shimon Yehuda. How do we know that? Because remember when we were learning the Rishbam at the top, Rishbam said right before the wide lines, the 5 or 6 lines before the wide lines here on Kuf Beis Amid Aleph, said the Rishbam, Avamotzen Ritzufim Yoiz Mishirazeh, Ein Zeshchunas Kvarois, El Ayideat Chak Nikbulisham. Who's the one that holds the matzah ritzufim? Ain't the shchunis kvaris? That's the tanakam of this brayser. Because Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, I'm Mishim Reb Shimon, roynesem toim kilu einon. And therefore, it is the shchunis kvaris after all. So therefore, it cannot go according to that Reb Shimon. It would have to go according to the tanakam. I, Rabbeinu Gershom says it goes according to that Reb Shimon Yehuda Mishim Reb Shimon. Presumably, what he's saying is that the Gemara is not bringing the entire halacha of Reb Shimon, including the Roinus and Tzoyim part, he's only bringing the 4 to 8 part. That both the Mishnah Holis talks about 4 and 8, and he talks about 4 and 8. And since we find Reb Shimon in our Mishnah, we assume therefore this is a second Talmud of Reb Shimon as to what Reb Shimon really held, whether he held the shear of 6 and 8 or 4 and 8. Okay, anyway. After everything is said and done, Baruch Hashem, we have answered our original kasha. Our original kasha was, we find Tuman, the Amram, 4 and 6 and 6 and 8, and here we have 4 and 8. Don't worry, Rabbi, so we have a new Braisa, a new Shitta. It's either Reb Shimon of the Sefer, or it's Reb Shimon of the Reisha, but we got a Reb Shimon that holds Taka 4 and 8. Freiti Mara, I still got a big problem here. Gamayu Kim Reb Shimon. Aim a Sefer. Let's go back to that Braisa on the Mishnah on the top of the Omud. It says that once you find three Neftarim together, Boidik Imenul Alon, Esrim Ami, you have to go and be Boidik 20 Amis in all directions. Fakti Mor Mami. Ereb Shimon, Esrim Vitartin Havyon. Erabonon, Tamnis Rehavyon. If it's Reb Shimon, it should be Lechoyah Cheshbon of 22. If it's Rabbanon, it should be a Cheshbon of 18. So what does the Gemara mean by that? This is very, very simple arithmetic. Remember, going back to the picture on Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph in the Rishbam, let's look in the top picture to make life a little bit easier. The top picture shows a Ma'ara. Although it doesn't say what the size of the Ma'ara is, we know that according to the Tanakama, the length of that Ma'ara, that was from the two kuchen on the side, look like two fingers sticking out, from the right-hand side, where those two fingers are, until it says chotzer vav al vav, the distance is six amos. Because it's 4 by 6, it's 6 amos. Good. Now we find the chotzer vav al vav, that's another 6 amos. Then we go into the next ma'ara, and what is the length of that other ma'ara? Also 6 amos. So 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals Rabbi to 18. So therefore, according to Rabbanan, if that Mishnah was going according to Rabbanan, it should say that if I find a body there, what would be, or the three bodies really, what would be the maximum distance that I would have to go and be boidik? 18 amos. 6 amos on the length of this ma'ara, 6 amos of the chatzir, 6 amos in the next ma'ara, and they get 18 altogether.
Where are you measuring from? Where are you measuring from?
From the right hand side to the left hand side.
You have a mess.
Right.
The mess is 4 ounces, the length of 4 ounces.
From wherever the mess ends. You know, you're thinking to yourself, you go from the feet and from the head.
Right, exactly.
You know, you go from wherever the mess ends.
Okay.
And then from there, 20 amos. And then the other direction from the mess ends, 20 amos.
Okay.
Anyway, but here you only have 18. So, okay, so forget about Rabban. Let's go to Reb Shimon for a moment. If you go to Reb Shimon, let's go down to the next picture down below. There, for some reason, the printers added Ma'ara Vav Alches, not just Ma'ara, so that already is a giveaway that it's 8 amos long. Aha. Okay, so now, if we have from the rightmost kuchen to the chotzer is 8 amos, right? Everybody agrees? The chotzer in the middle is 6 amos. Then over to the next Ma'ara, where you have an additional up to 8 amos. So if we add instead of 6 plus 6 plus 6, we add 8 plus 6 plus 8.
22.
How much is 22? Oh, faith of the Gemara, so make up your mind. The amount that you should have to go and check from now on should be either 18 amos later the bottom, or 22 amos aliba dereb shemaim. Back to the Gemara Nachamu. It's either 22 or 18. It's really the Rabbana. We're going to Bodvik Balach Soina. Now we have to get into some very simple algebra. What's a simple algebra? It's going according to Rabbana. The modern, remember, hold that these Ma'arais are 4 by 6. So what the Rabbana are telling us is you don't go and just check in a straight line. You have to go and check slanty in a hypotenuse type of formation. Ah, so if you have a triangle, or you have a square, where one side is 4 and the other side is 6, and now we're trying to figure out what the hypotenuse is, fine, so we go the a squared plus b squared plus equals c squared. So a squared is 4 times 4 is 16, right? The other side is 6. 6 times 6 is 36. 36 plus 16 gives you 52. So the c squared is 52. So what's the square root of 52? It doesn't go out easily, but what's the square root of 49? Square root of 49 is 7. Since you have a 3 more, it comes out to 7.2. Say the Chachamin, since you have to be boidik 7.2, we're not going to talk about fractions. We're going to round it up to the next number. What's the next number? Is 8. Right? Instead of talking about 7.2, it's 8. So according to Rabban, I have 8 from R number 1. I have the 6 and the Chatzah. I have 6 on R number 2. 8 plus 6 plus 6 equals 20. Right? 8 plus 6 is 14. Another 6 is 20. So far, so good?
Right. And that also includes the 18 that they held if you're going in a direct line.
Exactly. So,
you have
you have to go up to 20, which would include the 18. Now that all sounds good, but of course immediately the Gemara asks the obvious question. If you're giving 8 to Ma'ara number 1, so Hanami Balach Soina, why don't you give Ma'ara number 2 also 8? I mean, if you're being Machmer and saying, you can't just be Boidik straight ahead, 6, but you have to assume with the hypotenuse of 8, so assume a hypotenuse over there also of 8, and then you'd have 8 plus 6 plus 8, and you're back to square 1, we're back to 22 again. 8 plus 8 is 16, and then 6 gives you 22. So, very dimor anav alach soin, esemet, tar te havion, and dimachot bachloin amrinan, trey ba alach soin le amrin. In other words, all of this are chumris upon chumris. We're trying to see, are there other niftarim buried here, there, and everywhere? It's not obvious to us. We didn't even know about any of these niftarim. It was all might say we found them for the first time. You only have to do one balach soina from the mess that you find. Go and do it with hypotenuse. But once you pass that 8 amis, from there on you just have to go straight. You don't have to start crisscrossing all up. That's your cheshbon of Swati. So therefore it's 8 plus 6 plus 6. Reb Shisha Bar Avidi Amar Le'olam Reb Shemini. That means it goes according to Reb Shemini. And this pshat of Shisha Bar Avidi is a little bit easier to follow. Why is it easier to follow? Because remember, we established that the Mishnah Mesechtas Seholois, which talks about 4 to 8, is Reb Shemini. It's either the Tanakama of that price, or it's Reb Shimon Yehuda, Mishim Reb Shimon of the price, but it's Reb Shimon. Aha. If it's according to Reb Shimon, now we were saying, according to this first teretz, the part of the Mishnah that talks about the Chof Amah, that goes according to the Rabbanan. And the part of the Mishnah that talks about 4 out 8, that's talking according to Reb Shimon. So to go and change from Reisha to Seifa so abruptly, from 4 to 8, and then to Esra Mama, this is Reb Shimon, and this is Rabbanan. This is shver. So therefore, we're much better off if we can go and say that the entire Mishnah is Reb Shimon. Like Reb Shimon. Aha. But if it's Reb Shimon, then why is it only 20? We made a cheshver, it should be 22. Because according to Reb Shimon, you have ma'aris of 8 amis wide, 8 amis long, then you have your 6 chotzer, and then you have the next 8. 8 plus 8 is 16, plus 6 is 22. Where do you get 20 from? Hachmaiskinim and Nifli. They found Nephilim. They didn't find full bodies. They just found small, little bodies. And if they found small, little bodies, says Rishbam, if you are building a Ma'ara and Kuchen for Nebuch, for Nephilim, then even Reb Shimon agrees that they made small ones, 4 by 6, instead of 6 by 8, since you're Nephilim.
Would they have a Ma'ara just for Nephilim? I thought the Nephilim were buried in the small kuchen in the family, this is the family plots.
That was one of the terutzim yesterday to fit in, according to Reb Shimon, 13. Remember, we said we have 11 altogether.
Right.
We have 4 plus 4 plus 3. Where are you going to find the other two?
Right,
so Marisitum and Benitli. And that's how you're able to squeeze them in those corners.
Right.
But that's talking about a regular Mara, where you have regular Mesim, and you're also squeezing in some Nephilim. But apparently, there were Ma'aris that were dedicated solely to Nephilim, and even today, if you go into cemeteries, hopefully you don't have to, they usually have in the back, they have sections for Nephilim, not part of the prominent Kvarim in the front, but squeezed in the back, little burial plots number for a Nephilim. So apparently, there were, as you know, in yesteryear, there were many more Nephilim than we have today. So apparently, they dedicated a full Ma'ara for Nephilim. And since it was dedicated for Nephilim, it was a smaller a Ma'ara, not your normal 6 by 8 or 4 by 8, but it was only 4 by 6. So if you look at the first line of the Rishbam, the first wide line, Rav Shisha Bereid Rav Idi Omar, first wide line, Hachseif and Amar Rav Shimini. It's both the Reisha and the Seif of Rav Shimon. We're going to Hani Shloisha Mesim Hava Nifli, Ma'ara Shal Nefalim, Orka Sheish, even according to Rav Shimon, not Orka Shmoine, but Sheish. Ma'ara Shnia was Chesama, the second Ma'ara was 8 Amas, like a regular Ma'ara. And you have in between the Chotzer of 6. So if you add 6 plus 6 is 12, plus 8 is 20. Hari Chofam, oh, so it goes according to Reb Shimon, and the Mason that you found, Mushkov Kedarkam, were not regular Mason, they were Nephilim. Frank Yimara. If the Niftarim that you found were Nifli, Hanami Benifli, you should assume then, L'choyra, that the next Ma'ara also has Nephilim. And therefore, just like this Ma'ara was only the measure of 6 Amis and not 8 Amis, because it was Nephilim, then the next one should also be only 6 Amis and not 8 Amis. And if that's the case, Tam Nisri Hami, then you'd have 18. You'd have 6. Plus 6 Chotzer,
right,
and the next 6, and you'd be down to 18. How do you get the 20? That we dedicated a particular Ma'ara strictly for Nephilim, that I guess was at least common, frequent, possible, but there should be two Ma'aras not far from each other. Both of them dedicated in the following Gemara says for that, we do not make that assumption, and therefore we have 6 plus 6 plus 8 is 20 altogether. So bottom line is, we for Enfin now that Kasha as well, how do you get a Cheshvan of 20? It should be either 18 or 22. The Gemara gave two Terutzim, either goes according to Rabbanan, and one of the Ma'aris, you have to be Boidik V'derech Alachsoin, or it's going according to Reb Shimon, and we're talking about Nephilim. But only one of the two, and not both. Thank you, Morias. Now I have a Zaitigi Kasha. I have another Kasha. Vrami, Drabana, Drabana, Vrami, Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon. Remember here on the Amud Aleph, we had that the Mason were buried Ritzufim, clustered together. So the Tanakhama said, that's not a Shunas Kvaris. because it's obvious that these were just put in there on a temporary basis, ad hoc, and therefore not a shul. Reb Shimon said, no, Royin, go and look upon any middle caver that doesn't seem to be in place. Royin deem it as if it's not there, and therefore it is a shchunas kfaras utiyah. So the Rabban apparently do not subscribe to the Royin theory, or Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Mishim Reb Shimon does subscribe. He says, you're right. The Freit Gemara in Hilchos Kelayim, we see just the opposite. The Rami Rabban Rabban Reb Shimon did not, it should say to Mishnah, did not. Normally, when you would go and plant a kerem is a vineyard, between one row and the next row of vines, you would typically have six amas. And what did they do over here? They had six amas between the first and the third, but in between they had a second one, meaning that you all three together were within the six amas, and therefore you didn't have between one row and the other row. Exactly. It was all very much clustered together. So now the problem is this considered to be a kerem? What difference does it make if it's a kerem? The Gabi Yuchas Kelayim. If it has the status of halachic kerem, you're now going to go and plant zroim lisham, for instance, wheat, tvua, etc. However, if you're going to go and tell me that it's not a kerem, it's just you put in some vines here and there, scattered, then it doesn't have the status of a kerem, and you can go and put in scattered tvu as well, even though...
But isn't the Ishaf Kalayim, if you have a handful of grape seeds and rhyme together, planting them?
That's another mandiyoma, that's not our Gemara. It's another mandiyoma that holds that you're not chayiv until you have all three together, b'chartzen and b'yad echad, and you plant them all. But that's not our Gemara. It's not a problem. In fact, this Gemara we brought already earlier on in Daf Lamed Zayin. Ayin Shem Rishbam, I believe, asked the Kasha already over there, and he says it doesn't go according to that maniyah. But anyway, Kerem and Atu Alpoch Miyar Ba'amois, it's much too clustered together. Shimon Oymer and Kerem doesn't have a din of Kerem. Chom Oymer, how is the Kerem? V'royinis and Tzoyim Kilo Einon. Those middle vines which have clustered this, the other outside vines, and have made it now into a non-kerem.
A crowded kerem.
Oh, shkarech. A crowded kerem. Royin, look upon them as if they do not exist. Why don't they exist? Because a normal person wouldn't go and plant like that. And therefore, presumably, this was only done on a temporary basis. You're going to go and transplant this part of the kerem to somewhere else. So Royin, look upon it already as if it's ke'ilayim, as if they're not there. And if they're not there, then from the outermost rows of this kerem from right to left, skip the middle, you do have the proper dimensions. It is a kerem after all. So what do you see from this? That Reb Shimon does not subscribe to Royin, and the Chumim do subscribe to Royin. And that was just the opposite of the Brice and the Amud Aleph, where we said that it's Reb Shimon that says Royin is Samtzayin Kilainan, and it's the Tanakhama that says it's Rasufin, and the Hemshchunas Kvaris. And the Chari, we're talking about the same type. Obviously, we're not talking about the same subject matter. However, we're talking about the same concepts of things which are clustered together. Can you go and say, look upon the middle ones as if they're not there, deem them as if they're invisible, total transparency, and therefore it's a Kerem, or it's a Shchunas Kvaris, like we had in the Amud Aleph. What's the difference? Says Reb Shimon very, very simple. On the Amud Aleph, what were we talking about? We were talking about Nebuch the Niftarim that were there, Ritzufin. Says Reb Shimon, look at one of the Emtsoim Kilo Einam, and it's a proper Shchunas Akvaris. Says Reb Shimon, this really was a proper cemetery, a proper Ma'ara. What happened was, the Zimnim Misrami Labenish Moshes, it's Erev Shabbos, there's not enough time to go and prepare the body, Mitachrichim, and dig the grave, and get everybody home in time before Kiddush. So they had to, on an ad hoc basis, just, unfortunately, try to squeeze in the Nifter on a temporary basis. They had hoped to come back on Sunday, Monday to redo it, and for whatever reason, that was not possible. And therefore, Roy the Kiva Einam, because it's really not supposed to be there. Mash Enkein, when it comes to kelayim, when a person plants his kerem, not the injured dietary, okay, normally if you're planting vines, you're not planting them for the purpose of, I'm going to leave it here for a month, I'm going to go and transplant it later on. You could do that, but that's not the normal intentions of people. The intention of the person was to leave it there permanently. As a result, you have a crowded kerem. It's going to be a crowded kerem. As a result, the grapes may be somewhat inferior. Okay, so it'll be inferior, but I'll be able to make it up perhaps, because on the volume of triple C grapes may be more valuable than a smaller volume of triple A grapes. So that's why here you say right, and there you don't say right. Since they're all clustered together like that, so they're lying benevol, in other words, not in an appropriate fashion, that's why it's not called a caver. Here, when it comes to the vines, the Rabbanim say, let's go and plant as many as we possibly can in this small plot of land, and we'll see what happens. Those vines that are successful, and they flourish, and they blossom, beautiful, beautiful grapes, okay, we'll keep them there. Those that we see are doing a poor job, we'll clean them out, we're going to make them tzivi, we're going to make them to firewood, we'll use them for other purposes. And that's why, by the mason, you don't go and say the inyan of Royan, and I'm sorry, there you say the inyan of Royan, kim the manavali mikri, according to Rabbanan, you don't say Royan legabe kvarim, because since it's manavali mikri cave, the whole thing doesn't look like a cemetery plot, it looks like everything was just by happenstance tossed together in a clustered, crowded manner, therefore there's no shchunas akvaris. Mashenkin over here, it was intentionally planted, and the thought was, we'll see what happens. Those that will eventually have to uproot will uproot. And therefore, Roinis and Tsoyim, those that are not being successful, we will view them as being there only on a temporary basis for purposes of TV. And that's why we do say Roin in the case of the Kerem after all. The mission is very, very simple.
It's all about Kavana, basically. It's a question of Kavana is determining. In both these cases, in the case of Kilai Kerem, according to this Mahalach, Kavana is determining if it's a Kerem or not, and therefore if the person is Mechayev in Kilayim, and if you have to destroy and burn the Kilai Kerem as a result of this, it really falls just on a person's Machshava. If a person said, yeah, it was just the survival of the fittest, the good vines I was gonna leave, and the bad ones I was going to uproot, and therefore anything that's in there is Kilai Kerem, and therefore I have to uproot. I mean, is it really coming down to that? Isser Beheter is falling on Machshava?
What the Gemara is saying is, you ask the steer, one Reb Shimon, another Reb Shimon, another Rabbanon, the other Rabbanon, whether we do hold this judicial rule of jurisprudence of this Royan. Where do you say the Royan? Say the Chachamim and say Reb Shimon. It depends on the circumstances. Now notice, we're not asking any of the people, certainly not in the case of the Kuchen, because the only people around are Nebuch all dead, so they presumably are not going to respond. The people that put the bodies there in the first place are also not to be found. So we cannot...
They didn't move them.
They didn't return. Exactly. They did not return for whatever reason. They didn't return. So now the Chum have to say, now the Chazal have to determine, do we say Ryan? Don't we say Ryan? And therefore we try to look at the circumstantial evidence and determine whether it would be appropriate to go and say Ryan. Why aren't they consistent? Why do we always say Ryan? Why sometimes yes, sometimes not? So that's already the Chum are trying to look into the minds of those that are either burying Mason and or those that are planting vines in a vineyard. And then based on that, they will say, when does it make sense to say Ryan? When doesn't it make sense? Machshava plays a part, but that's only in trying to distinguish between where you say sometimes and where you don't say other times. However, the ultimate rule of Ryan is a Chazal rule of jurisprudence that in certain circumstances, even though it's clustered, we will deem it as if it's not clustered after all.
And you read a case where Nachman Zambas itself was buried in the Warsaw Ghetto during the fire. An ad hoc grave, and after the war, it was a shell, proper grave. Mm-hmm. And also, perhaps, there's no das, but it's obviously in the ghetto, in the city, but it's not a proper burial place for him.
Let's see, it's buried in Har Menuchos. Okay, we'll just start the next Mishnah. It's a very simple Mishnah, and now we don't have to talk about people passing away in the Thurim. We're talking about a person who decided he wants to buy a base koyer offer. He uses the word offer, which is very important. He didn't just say, I want to buy a base kor, I want a base kor offer. Says Rishbam, when you add the word offer, you mean that you want it to be ro'oi lizriya, for purposes of planting. Because if you say, I just want to buy a base kor, Maybe you want to go and build an apartment building, or just a private house, or a factory, or offices, or whatever it happens to be. So, but you're saying offer, that means I want to use it for farmland, or at least for land that would be royal Israel. So, Dr. Mishnah, I want to go and sell you a base korofar, and the other person says, yes, I'm interested. If there were shpalten are cracks or crevices which were deep, 10 tvachim. Or islam, there were boulders growing in tvachim, there were 10 tvachim tall. Einon nedada ima, these are not counted towards the base korach. What's the reason why? Explains the Rishbam, because a person that wants to go and plant a field, he wants to plant one field, he doesn't want to plant two or three fields. And by having these huge nikoyim or huge saloyim, then Rishbam says, "Yelei toirach kishtei sodois lachroish v'lizroya b'shnei mekayimois lemala ulamata." He can't just go simply straight back and forth like you would normally go with a plow. You constantly have to have all these detours: go to the right, go to the left, up and down and back. That causes major technical headaches. I wasn't interested in that, and therefore, and the Dodd and Imah, those places are not considered to be part and parcel of the base korofer. You have to give a base korofer in addition to those Nikoyim and this one.
You give an adjustment for those subfields.
Right. Falkas Mikan, however, if it's less than Yitvachim, then the Dodd and Imah, then they are counted towards it. And the reason the Gemara is going to go and say is because they blight, for instance, that hole in the ground, which we call the Nekah, that crevice. The Gemara calls it, it's almost like a puddle. It's a small little thing. It's not a river. It's a small little part of a small little thing. No grace of cheshivas, and therefore you could sell a base kor offer, including them. However, the Amalek kib base kor offer, he added that chav, like a base kor offer. Ooh, I feel a ho yisham, the koi mamukim, yoyis metzor atvachim. O islam givon, yoyis metzor atvachim. Hara il nimdod ima, because by adding that chav, he is telling him in advance, the moichah says, lakeach, don't think you're getting your normal base korofer. You're getting something like a base korofer. What's something like a base korofer? That you have some large boulders and some deep crevices, that they are included in that base korofer after all. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael.